The Flying Chariot.
Not far from Mount Carmel, where King Ahab and the prophet Elijah had met in conflict, there lives a wealthy farmer named Shaphat. He has a son named Elisha.
Rain, wonderful rain. Oh, but will it never end? Oh, it stopped. Father, the rain stopped. Now we can work the soil and plant our crops.
Son, Mother called dinner. As soon as you're through washing, we'll go in.
All right, Father.
Got the land cleared?
Half of the west field.
Half of it? Already?
Things are going wonderfully well.
Do you know why, son?
We have good hands. They're good workers.
Yes, that's very true. But during the general apostasy of Israel, we remained true to God. While all Israel followed Ahab and Jezebel in the worship of Baal, we continued to worship the God of creation. And I think he is now rewarding us for our faithfulness.
I believe that, Father. Truly, I believe it. Yet we know that God helps those who help themselves.
And we'd better go into dinner before we have to help ourselves to cold food.
After 3.5 years of drought, things are finally coming to life. Vegetation springing up, the grass and trees are turning green. Nature, wonderful nature. Yet nature is really an expression of God. Oh, God, God of nature, God of the universe, I thank thee for all these wonderful expressions of thy love. The mountains, the streams, the trees, the vegetation, and all the world itself seems to be trying to redeem the 3.5 years' drought and famine. Oh, thou art a wonderful God, and wonderful.
Gershank!
Whoa!
Yes, master.
I'll take over the plow for a while.
You plow, master?
Well, surely, why not?
Why, you're the master. Your father is well-to-do. You have no need to plow or to work at all. I am your servant. I will plow.
Even servants get tired. Sit down in the shade and rest a while.
But master, I'm a slave, and people don't treat slaves with consideration and kindness. You're the master, and masters don't work.
You're the new servant.
Yes, master.
Well, you see, Gershank, my father has taught me the simple principles of leadership. And the most important rule is, first of all, to be a good follower. One must serve if one is to be served. Usefulness and work breed integrity and fidelity. Faithfulness in little things lead to responsibility of greater things. Meekness and a gentle spirit are the products of energy and steadfastness. That'll give you a slight idea of the kind of father I have.
Yes, sir.
Oh, one more thought I'd like to leave with you.
Yes, sir.
Every act of life is a revelation of character. He who proves himself in small matters as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed can be honored by God with higher service.
Yes, master.
Now, sit down in the shade and I will plow.
Yes, master.
Get up there.
I don't know what he said, but he's kind to his servants, and that makes him all right with me. Yes, sir.
Gee! Oh! Get up!
Wait, someone's coming across the field. Why, it's a man. I wonder who it is. It's the prophet Elijah.
Whoa there, whoa.
Good day to you, sir. I trust the prophet Elijah is in good health.
Here, son, is my cloak of consecration. Farewell.
Yeah, but, sir, I... But, sir, what is this mantle for? I don't need it, and I... Well, that's odd. He didn't even say hello. Just threw his mantle about my shoulders and went on. His mantle of consecration. He threw it about my shoulders. What could that mean that he... Yes. Yes, that's what it does mean. Elijah! Elijah, sir, I'm coming with you.
And Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah.
Sir, Elijah, sir, let me go home and bid my parents farewell, and then I'll follow thee wherever thou goest.
Go home and remain there, for what have I done to thee?
Mother, mother, don't cry.
A mother can't help but cry when her son leaves home.
But I've been called to assist Elijah, and I must answer the call.
Called by whom?
By God.
How do you know? Did Elijah say so?
No, Mother, but when he dropped that mantle about my shoulders, I knew. I just knew that it was God calling me to a special duty, and that... Well, Mother, I have to go.
You'll be a great prophet. Like Elijah?
I'll do whatever tasks are set before me to the best of my ability.
Oh, you will be great. For that is what greatness is made of.
Mother, please understand that when I decided to follow Elijah, I didn't do it for any worldly advantage. I know that there'll be hard times, privations, temptations. I'd lead an easier, more relaxed way of life here at home, but I've counted the cost and unhesitatingly... I'm leaving a home of love and security to attend the prophet Elijah and his uncertain life.
It was no great work that was at first required of Elisha. Just ordinary, humble tasks.
Elisha, pour this water over my hands that I may wash.
Yes, master.
Get my sandals and put them on my feet.
Yes, master. Here you are, master. Your cloak and mantle.
You're a very faithful attendant, Elisha.
Oh, thank you, master.
Temptations often assailed Elisha.
Ah, Elisha, think of the wonderful home you left. If you were only there now, how much easier your life would be. Now, as Elijah's servant, you have to do all kinds of menial tasks for which you receive little reward. Go home, be happy, enjoy the pleasures of life.
Get thee behind me, Satan.
For several years, Elisha continued to work with Elijah. Daily, he gained greater preparedness for the work before him.
Elisha?
Yes, master?
I have refrained from talking to you about this, but... I'm sure you realize that you've been called to take my place as Israel's prophet when I am gone.
Yes, sir. I believe that the day you threw your mantle over my shoulders.
It's not an easy task, being prophet to a sinful people. My work has been one of rebuke and reproof. I was God's voice in the slaying of Baal's prophets. God used me to rebuke the wicked Ahab and to protest against Ahaziah when he turned from the living God to Beelzebub, the god of Akron. Mine has truly been a work of condemnation and judgment. I have called kings and people to turn from evil ways with a stern voice. Yours will be a more peaceful mission. You will come in contact with the people. You will be surrounded by sons of the prophets, and you will bring healing and rejoicing. Be of good cheer, Elisha, my son, for God will be with you and give you success.
Even during the years that Elijah and Elisha worked together, Elijah was called upon from time to time to meet many evils with stern rebuke.
Ahab, king of Israel, by stealing the vineyards of Naboth, thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, God will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy posterity. Thy house will be utterly destroyed, like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. For the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked God to anger and made Israel to sin. And Jezebel the queen shall be eaten by dogs by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. O Jehoram, king of Judah, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, to worship the living God of heaven, behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods, and thou shalt have a great sickness.
The schools of the prophets, established by Samuel, had fallen into decay during the years of Israel's apostasy. Elijah had reestablished these schools, making provisions for young men to gain an education that would lead them to magnify the law of God and give him honor and glory. Elijah, with Elisha in attendance, now visited these schools of the prophets.
Young men of Gilgal, you are students in this place of learning. Oft times in the past I have instructed you in the paths of righteousness and the ways of the servants of God. It is a high privilege that is yours, the privilege of loyally maintaining your allegiance to the God of heaven. I wish once again to impress upon your minds the importance of letting simplicity mark every feature of your education. Only in this way can you receive the mold of heaven and go forth to work the ways of the Lord. Elisha, my son, before I journey on to the school at Bethel, I wish to urge you to remain here or to return home. I shall journey to Bethel alone.
As long as there's an opportunity to gain further training for service for God, I shall remain with you.
Students at Bethel, yours is a high privilege, the privilege of loyally maintaining your allegiance to the God of heaven.
Once again, Elisha, my son, I bid you remain here or return home while I journey to the school at Jericho.
And once again, Master, I shall remain with you. Go where thou goest and do what thou doest.
And so the two men, the aging prophet Elijah and the younger Elisha, journeyed to Jericho.
Elisha, my son, gaze upon the walls of Jericho. Are they not impressive?
Oh, they are, Master.
There is much history found up in those walls and the country hereabouts. In olden times, this valley was beautiful, even as the Garden of Eden was beautiful. It was here that Lot chose to make his home when he pitched his tent toward Sodom. It was at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah that this valley became a desolate waste, with only a portion of the valley remaining fruitful. It was right here, in that one remaining fruitful spot, that the hosts of Israel encamped after crossing the Jordan.
Yes, sir. And is it not true, sir, that from here Israel destroyed Jericho by marching around its walls every day for 7 days?
True, Elisha, my son. But what most people do not know is that the old Jericho was a heathen stronghold, the center of the worship of Ashtoreth, vilest and most degrading of all the Canaanitish forms of idolatry.
Well, I didn't realize that, sir.
It was because of this that the prophecy was made in the presence of all Israel: cursed be the man who rebuildeth this city of Jericho.
But it has been rebuilt. There it stands.
And the one who rebuilt it was cursed. Hiel, the Bethelite, laid the foundation in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates in his youngest son, Segub.
Well, I've heard that the worship of Ashtoreth has been revived. Is that true?
It was revived under the influence of Queen Jezebel.
Oh, what a wicked woman.
My motive in telling you all this, Elisha, my son, is to point up the fact that much history is still to take place here. Many things are yet to transpire in this history-rich valley of Jordan. Some of these things will involve you.
Elisha, my master, twice now you've suggested that I remain behind or return home. I assume this is to test me, test my faithfulness. Well, sir, early in life, I was taught faithfulness. I've learned not to falter or become discouraged. I cannot be turned aside from God's purpose.
You have been taught well, Elisha. But come, we tarry too long. We must hasten on to the school before evening overtakes us. students of the prophets at Jericho, it is with great pleasure that again I am permitted to visit you. I'm getting old. Perhaps this shall be my last visit. As future prophets, as future workers for God, you are aware of the fact that you are privileged. You will continue loyally to maintain your allegiance to the God of heaven. You will continue to study and apply yourselves to whatever task.
Elijah! Elijah!
Yes? Who calls?
I am an angel from the throne in heaven. I am sent to reveal unto you what God is about to do to Elijah, his servant.
Yes, angel?
Elijah is faithful and true. He has kept all God's laws and precepts. Therefore, the Lord shall take Elijah to heaven without the taste of death and the grave.
Elijah will be translated without seeing death?
Yes, Elijah.
When shall this be, angel?
I am not commissioned to reveal the time or place, Elijah.
Well, may I reveal these glad tidings to Elijah himself?
Elijah already knows it. He does not know, however, that the secret has been revealed to you and other disciples at the schools of the prophets. Remain true, Elijah, and you too shall someday inherit a home in heaven. Farewell.
Farewell, angel. Elijah's to be translated. I shall not let him out of my sight, for I should like to witness the translation.
Once again, Elisha, my son, I plead with you. Return home or tarry here while I carry on.
As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, Elijah, I shall not leave you.
So be it.
And the two left Jericho and went on their way. And they stood by the river Jordan.
See this monument of 12 stones, Elisha?
Yes, sir.
They were placed there by Joshua and the children of Israel as an eternal reminder of their crossing the Jordan on dry land.
But how could the children of Israel forget God so repeatedly as they did, when so many wonderful and miraculous things happened to them?
Wonderful miracles happen every day of every person's life, yet they remember not to obey the voice of God or love him.
You refer to the miracles of life itself, the constant heartbeat, the processes of growth, the mystery of creation and all the other wonderful secrets of living matter?
The power of God sustains all things. That is the second-by-second miracle of life.
Yes, sir.
Take the Jordan River, for instance. The question of where it comes from and where it is going. The beauty of its life-giving waters as it passes through vale and hill. These things are all interesting to meditate upon. Yet we are faced with a more pressing and immediate problem. We must cross to the other side of Jordan. Yet the water is swift and deep this time of year. How are we to get across?
Swim, perhaps?
I am far too weary and old to swim in such swift waters.
Wait for a caravan to help us across.
We're in a hurry, and time waits for no man.
It's too much of a problem for me to solve, sir.
There is only one thing that will get us across. Faith.
Faith?
Faith in our mission. Faith that God can and will supply every need. Faith and sure knowledge that God is with us. The physical evidence of that faith is simply that we walk across the river.
Walk? On top of the water?
On dry land. And the symbol of our faith shall be my cloak. I shall wrap it tightly together, then strike the waters of the River Jordan. Behold, Elisha, my son, a path of dry land through the water.
And the two went over the Jordan on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha,
Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from thee, and it shall be so.
You're going to be taken away soon?
I am old. My time is fast approaching.
What sort of thing shall I ask for?
Anything, and it shall be so.
Should I ask for worldly honor?
Ask for whatever you desire to have.
Or a high place among the great men of the earth?
Even a high place among the great men of earth.
Oh, Elijah, sir, what I really crave is a double portion of the spirit that is upon thee. May I have that?
It is a hard thing you ask, Elisha. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from thee, thy wish shall be granted to thee. But if you do not see me taken, it shall not be so.
And it came to pass that the two men continued on their way and talked.
Sir, do you know when you're to be translated?
You know that I am to be translated?
Yes, sir. It was revealed to me at Jericho.
There was a time, Elisha, my son, when in loneliness and discouragement I prayed that I might die.
You wanted to die, sir?
When I was in the desert, I was lonely and discouraged. But the Lord, in his mercy, did not take me at my word. Instead of descent into the tomb, I shall ascend with God's angels into the very presence of God's glory.
Look, a chariot, sir. A chariot of angels coming down to earth. God's chariot and his horsemen.
And behold, the chariot of fire and the horses of fire parted Elijah and Elisha asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw Elijah no more. And Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And Elisha went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he struck the water with the mantle. The waters of Jordan parted hither and thither, and Elisha passed over on dry ground. And when the sons of the prophets, which were at the school in Jericho, saw what had happened, they came to meet Elisha and bowed themselves to the ground before him.
Arise, thou shalt worship only Israel's God. For he is the God of creation, and only he is worthy of worship.
The spirit of Elijah rests on you, Elisha.
Where is Elijah?
Is he already ascended into heaven?
God parted the waters of Jordan for you, even as he did for Elijah.
Are you to be our prophet now that Elijah is gone?
The Lord has called me to serve his people.
If you are to take Elijah's place, we plead with you to come and listen to the elders of Jericho, for they're sore perplexed with the condition of the wells and springs of the city.
The water is bitter, unfit for use.
It must also be poison, for the people die when they drink of it.
Take me to these men.
In response to the plea of the men of Jericho, Elisha said,
"Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein."
Having received the cruse of salt, Elisha went forth unto the spring and cast the salt in and said,
"Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land."
And thus were the waters of Jericho healed and made sweet. And from age to age the waters of Jericho have flowed on, making that portion of the valley of Jordan an oasis of beauty, even to this day. And so it was that Elisha stood in Elijah's place. For he who had been faithful in that which was least was to prove himself faithful also in much.